Proceed in order.
Yes, it was posted with the county clerk on the website and sent to the newspapers and radio.
Approval of the agenda.
I so move.
I approve.
Motion by Arnie, second by Lester.
No, that wasn't me.
Gary.
Oh, Gary, pardon me.
Gary.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Oh, same sign, carried. Approval of last month's minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
Motion by Pat, second by Lester.
No.
Gary.
Gary. Oh, Gary again? Looking here, I just kind of, well, you're sitting too close in line.
We'll forgive you, these masks are.
Yeah, I can't see you, I got my mask on, yeah. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, same sign, carried.
Can I?
Need to have roll call?
No, I don't think we do, you've got it, right?
Okay.
Can I interrupt for 1 minute? I just want to introduce Vicki Hirsch is back on our board, she has sat on our board in the past. So maybe we can just introduce ourselves a little bit. Vicki, you want to tell a little bit about where you're from? Not everybody here knows you.
Well, I'm from Platteville. I'm married to John Hirsch, he managed the Dick Supermarket way back. And we have eight children together, and John has many, many health issues, so I'm a full-time caregiver.
How is he doing, Vicki?
He has a lot of pain, just can't walk.
So you know Dale?
His collection.
Arnold Ross.
Dr. Jansen.
Gary Chose.
That's Shane Dinkwater back there, he's our IT director, and you know Courtney. All right, and we've got Pat Reynolds on line. And Bob Keating.
And you're kind of cutting in and out today, I don't know why. Usually don't, but you are today.
All right, can you hear me better?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to sit up tall.
Okay, moving forward, elect chair and vice chair. I guess I'm not sure how we do this as far as chair, I mean, I.
Right.
Oh, to just step forward, does there need to be an official election?
I don't know, you were the one that wanted this on here, so I didn't know how to put it on there, so however you want to do it, do you want to just, you stepped in after Carolyn left, so, do you want to?
Vice chair steps up into that position.
Right.
Yeah.
So we just need to elect a vice chair then?
Elect a vice chair.
Okay.
Well, we should maybe have a motion that.
Yeah, that's. You had thought that you wanted a motion just to say that you were now stepping into the chair role.
Yeah, right.
Bob, did you have something to say on that?
I don't think that there needs to be any action on that, because he automatically moves up to the chair, I think all you need to do is elect a vice chair.
Okay.
Don't need to be, I was just thinking something maybe should be in the minutes on it, I didn't know.
Well, you can put it in the minutes that due to the vacancy, Dale will take over his chair, and then you just need to elect a vice chair.
Okay. Sounds good.
I guess we'll have a.
Do we have any volunteers for vice chair, or? Don't everybody raise their hand at once.
I'll accept a vote or a nomination for vice chair.
I'll nominate Lester.
Motion.
I'll second it.
Nominations for Arnie. Any more nominations? Any more nominations? Any more nominations? I'll accept a motion to close nominations.
I'll make a motion to close the nominations.
Cast unanimous vote for Mr. Ralston.
Gary, close nominations. Pass unanimous ballot for Arnie as vice chair. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All same sign. Carried. Okay, Arnie, welcome aboard. Give your acceptance speech now. Public comments, any communications? All right, move on to advocacy reports. We met on the September 23rd, I guess it was, yeah. There wasn't really too much, or just pretty much day-to-day stuff that we discussed. They're looking for a dementia care specialist in the office down there, but they're holding off putting on hiring one because I think there's, what, two counties that need one too?
Well, we're getting additional monies for dementia care, so we have one dementia care specialist in the region.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
So we're debating how, whether we'll have two dementia care specialists each serve two counties, or how we'll do that. But I think Mary's waiting for a little bit more specifics on the funding, so. But that will be good, because one dementia care specialist for four counties is not real doable.
Other than that, I don't think there was too much, was there, Lori?
That was probably the main thing.
Yeah. Got anything to add on anything?
Not on the regional board, I don't.
Well, and Oktoberfest?
Well, it'd be more fun if it was Oktoberfest, but we'll go with Elderfest. It'll be the fun without the beer. and we get 300 people without the beer, so I think probably. We are setting up starting today, actually. I've actually got stuff in my car to drop off at the fairgrounds today. And Courtney and I will be all busy probably most of the afternoon tomorrow. And Friday is Elderfest at 10 a.m. It is drive-through. We've got about 22 vendors that have donated things for the bags. Staff have been working on displays and things, so we'll have some displays through the fairgrounds as they come in. We have donuts coming from Vesperman Farms. We have a vaccine clinic for flu, tetanus, pneumonia, COVID, and possibly COVID boosters if they have them. Did I miss something? I think that's everything. Oh, we have a trick-or-treat station where they can win a door prize, so.
Just our resource bags, yeah.
Yeah, so we are pretty much all set. We just have to put it all together now and be ready. Hoping for good weather tomorrow and Friday, since last year didn't cooperate with us. It made it a little bit more miserable, so hopefully we'll have good weather.
It sounds, standing outside, you might need your winter coat.
Yeah, it's always windy up there, so we'll be prepared for that, but as long as it doesn't rain and monsoon the day before. Last year we had monsoon rains the day before, so we couldn't set up anything outside. So, All right. Pat, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can.
Okay.
There's been a lot of advertisement for your Elder Fest, so I hear it a lot on the radio.
Good, good. I finally heard it today. I get a little nervous when I don't hear it, so.
Oh, it's been on, yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
You sent for help.
I think we're okay, actually. We had a lot more vendors say they'd volunteer. We've got seven vendors that are going to do a display as well. So I think we're okay. That's all I have on that.
Public hearing?
All right, well, the public hearing comments are none, since we didn't have anybody. We did have a public hearing in Lancaster at our building, and then we had another one in Boscobel at the senior center there, and we did not have anybody attend those meetings. That isn't untypical. People just, unless there's something really that we're doing that people are not happy about, that's usually when they show up, but we did not have any. So we do not have any comments on that. We did give people the opportunity to call or write in any comments as well, and I did not receive any of those either this year. So, I mean, past years, occasionally we've gotten some, but we didn't get any this year, so.
Something else you forgot was a deck of cards for.
Yeah, yeah. So I have nothing on that.
Okay, moving on to number 8, aging plan final draft.
So we went through the aging plan draft last month. Then it was pending any public hearing comments. So I did not print out a new copy for you since basically there wasn't any comments. I don't think we need to change anything on the draft version you saw last month and approved. So, but I would like the final draft just to be approved. So there'll be no changes to what you saw.
I'll second it.
Motion and second to okay the final draft. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Hold the same. Carried. Increase for meal stipend manager.
Okay, as you know, we had a vacancy in Platteville open for quite some time, and that we've been filling that vacancy with two meal site managers or two meal site manager substitutes, one of which was Ashley Hines, who was our former meal site manager in Cuba City. Ashley did accept the position for the Platteville meal site manager, and I'm just asking a step increase to start her at the second step, retro to her start date. She had actually been a meal site manager in Cuba City and would have been at that step already. However, because of COVID and everything like that, she had to homeschool her children, and it just didn't work with her schedule. She needed to be home with the kids. So she had stepped down from that. So I just want to start her at the second step increase because she doesn't require any training. Obviously, she's been doing the job, and she was already ServSafe trained because she'd gotten that from us before. So it really saved us time by hiring her. It's kind of a moot point because in the budget, they will actually go up to, I think, the third step come January. But this would give her just an additional little increase. I believe the policy for the county is actually to take it before the executive committee, which I did. So basically, this is, I'm just getting your final approval here since the executive committee met next week or last week, sorry. So
need a motion on that?
I would like one just to confirm it.
Yeah.
Are you making one?
I'll make a motion, yeah, to increase that step increase for to step 2.
And Gary, you second?
Second it.
Gary second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Hold the same sign. Carried.
Thank you.
Okay. Approval of the vouchers. Anybody got any questions or on the vouchers?
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Motion by Pat, second by Gary. Any more discussion? Not, all in favor say aye.
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 Same. Carried. Financial report.
I don't think there's anything on here that's really out of order either. Do you, Courtney?
I don't think so. I
haven't really run across anything. I think we're pretty much in line.
everything looks like to be. It's working out pretty good.
Yeah. Other than our nutrition budget, of course, is wonky, but, you know, we thought we might actually run some congregate this year, but the nutrition budget as a whole, we're fine on, so. So, yeah, I don't have anything to point out on the finance report anyway. That looks kind of weird. We're doing okay.
Make a motion to approve the financial report.
By Pat.
I'll second it.
Yep.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Hold the same sign, carried. Director's report.
Well, we have been busy. I'll put that down a little bit. Our office continues to be quite busy. And now we've got Medicare open enrollment started October 15th. So Emily is ramping up on that very quickly for people that need to have their prescription plans looked at. She has started that. And I think already we're about at least 50, 55 people higher than we were at this time last year. And it literally just started. So I expect that she will be doing quite a bit. We are continuing to do Part D pretty much the same as last year, with most appointments handled over the phone or through the mail if we can. We will try to limit the number of people coming into the office, because actually they really don't. It really actually works well. Emily can get their plans mailed, or their medical information. She can run the plans and then send them back to them and do the appointment over the phone. So it has worked out pretty well. We've also been finalizing details. Our caregiver renewal day will not be in person, unfortunately, again this year, which is too bad, but it is what it is. We are collaborating with some other counties on a virtual event with Tipa Snow. She's a pretty well-known speaker. People really enjoy her. While she focuses kind of on caregiving with dementia, I think a lot of what she says is it can be heard by anyone. So, and she's just a good speaker. Courtney and I are working on staff evaluations. Courtney's working on them harder than I am. But maybe next week I will be too. She's also working on some meal site manager training that's required by GWAR. We've been, you know, obviously we finally got the budget submitted, so we were working on some of that. So it is just, October is a busy month. We've got a lot of end of year reporting for GWAR. It's end of year quarters for all of our other things. So there's a lot of reporting. And then with Elderfest thrown in there, it's just always a really busy month. And the phones don't quit ringing. So it's busy as usual. So that's all I have right now.
Program reports.
I will point out that the other two counties, we have two counties now that have lost their disability benefit specialists. Well, they didn't lose them. They took another job. And so that leaves our region a little bit vulnerable for disability benefits. Typically, what we would normally do is pick up. Other counties usually help out and pick up. Unfortunately, if you look at our case numbers, we are in the 77, 72. We've been a little bit closer to 80. That's high for disability benefits. 80 is the 80s they start telling us we definitely have to back off of, because that's too high. The disability benefits is works under the consultation of an attorney. So that puts a little more pressure on the other counties, because we just don't have the resources to serve people in Iowa and Lafayette as well as we'd like. So we're kind of evaluating cases as they come in from those counties to see if we can actually pick them up or not. and being mindful of Kristen's caseload as well. So other than that, under information and assistance, you'll see our contacts remain high. They're a little lower than June and July, and that's probably due to June and July's were a little higher due to farmers market. Under total contacts, where I have 592/371, that the slash is what the average is of the other three counties. And the total number of contacts that we do, 473, with the average of the other counties being 346. I like to point that out sometimes because our staff are really incredibly busy. So sometimes we don't do some of the other stuff that you might hear of because they're actually on the phones all the time. So I just wanted to point that out. Other than that, our bus is still not going, nor do we have a driver. We have not had luck attracting drivers. And I think that's going to continue. Our wages are not really all that competitive anymore for other things, and it's part-time and no benefits. So that may be something that we need to consider down the line of how we're going to deal with that. So, but not today.
Lori, I have a question for you.
Yes.
If we are, with the change of the wage schedule, will that help by eliminating those two lower steps? I think
you know,
bring those wages up.
It certainly won't hurt. I think it won't hurt. I don't know that. I mean, Gary's back bus driving, so he can tell you there's every school district is still hurting for bus drivers. There's just a big need. And just not a lot of people interested in doing that as much. So I don't know. I hope so, but we'll have to look at it and see what it does. So that's all I have.
Any other comments or suggestions?
I think in order to encourage a bus driver, you have to raise the wage. I think that's down the road that you're going to have.
Yeah, the county actually is doing that with the new budget. The new 2022 budget actually will eliminate the first two steps on the wage scale and start people at the third. So it will actually give them an increase now. To be honest, I just don't know. There's a lot of places that are paying now $18 an hour, $16 to $18 an hour, and offering benefits for part-time. There's more of that than that you see. So I just don't know if we'll attract, you know, it's just hard to know. Just the last several years since we lost our full-time. And I mean, the decision would be is maybe we need to go back to a full-time driver and offer benefits. I think that's probably our best opportunity to get somebody who's willing to stay because you just don't, it's just very difficult to find people part-time for those wages anymore. There's just not a pool out there. So we've advertised several times and just not gotten candidates, or we've gotten candidates who aren't qualified to do it. So yeah, it's a little tougher, but it's also tougher with our meal site managers. As you saw, we had Platteville is our biggest city, and we didn't get one app out of Platteville. No. We did not. So again, you've got Quick Trip and different places that are paying more and offering some benefits. So.
What are your qualifications for a meal site manager? What are
at this point? Well, I mean, obviously in the past we wanted them to have, if they had any experience with, restaurant experience or just customer service experience, that was nice. They do have to be able to pass, serving safe food training. It's not actually the food safety certificate that Courtney and I hold that. So it's pretty minimal, but you know, they just have to be able to, you know, be organized, work with volunteers and, you know, have that kind of background. And typically in the past, we maybe got people that maybe had cooked at, the schools or things like that. But they don't even have to cook. It's just serving the food for the most part, so. So, yeah, the skills are pretty minimal. I mean, it's doing some reporting, working with volunteers, and working with participants to make sure that everything is served safely, gets out to home-delivered, organizing all the home-delivered, portioning out the food. So, but, yeah, and we just don't, I don't think the last two positions, we didn't really, I think we had maybe two applications for Montfort when we advertised that one. Flatville, I thought we'd at least get a couple, but not even one. Not one. So.
Do you think the COVID has had that much of an effect on it? Or is it just nature of the beast today?
In my opinion, I think we've had trouble for the last probably 3 years attracting. So I don't, you know, COVID hasn't helped, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Not necessarily that's the cause of
it. I don't know. Joyce, do you want to talk countywide what you're seeing or?
No, it's unfortunate, but I do think COVID did have, had an effect at the beginning. And I think with the unemployment, when the unemployment was paying such a large sum, that hurt us as well. And it, I don't know how long it's going to last. I was hoping it would start picking up again once that unemployment went away, and we're not seeing it. So hopefully with this schedule change that we'll be doing to increase the wages on January 1 will help, but who knows how long it'll take.
Yeah, what I have seen is that the unemployment ending has not helped, that people have, I think people really made some life-changing decisions during the pandemic that they're not going to continue to work in some of the places where they were, and they're moving on. And typically millennials are not ones who stay and are looking for a 20-year placement somewhere. They want their jobs to fit in with their life, not their life for their job. And it's a different mindset anymore. So.
And there's less workers out there as well. A lot of people retired early with the COVID, so they're not going back to work. Your baby boomers were most of those that are retired now. So it's just a smaller labor pool out there. So that doesn't help either. So I wish I could tell you the future, but I don't. I can't. We'll just have to follow this. And as you can see out there, everybody's looking for workers. Everybody's increasing their wages. There's only so much we can do because we only have so much money to increase. So we're doing the best we can.
Right.
Our lack of bus service today affecting that many people, really?
I would say no, not right now, because we are still people who need rides. And all through the pandemic, if there were people that needed rides who might have used the bus to go get groceries or things, we were trying to always hook them up with our volunteer drivers or people that we knew. So, you know, the taxi's still running, and we do a lot of volunteer rides yet. So it mostly affects more of the personal enjoyment of a few people.
Yeah.
You know, our bus rides were never very full, maybe five to eight riders at the very most. We had a couple groups. We had a group in Cassville that had just started pre-pandemic liking to do some rides. And then we always had our orchard outings and our Christmas lights outings and some of those that were fuller, that people that wouldn't normally be able to get there use the bus for that. But no, I would say it's not affecting, you know, the masses in that respect. You know, unfortunately, though, transportation rises to the top of every needs assessment. Health assessments, I mean, I've done needs assessments for years, and it always rises high. But when you offer it, people don't often use it in the ways. So I think the taxi gets used more because it's more public and not necessarily looked at as an aid for someone. So where the bus, I think, sometimes gave that connotation. So I don't know. There are other agencies out there providing transportation. I mean, I think we have to think about that. Maybe we want to contract out to people who have employees in place. Those are things we may have to look at in the future if we can't do it. I mean, I can't at some point, I can't keep taking grant money for services I can't provide. So the pandemic gave us a little, you know, lull on that. But I mean, we have to be able to provide these services. And if we can't keep drivers employed, then it makes it very difficult to do that. Or we expand our volunteer. And the thing is I'd love to expand the volunteer program as well, but we don't have that many volunteers either. But we may have to give up. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we do smaller rides. That was my thinking all along, was that we would use the bus for shorter distances in off communities, but I have to have somebody who can drive it. So, and we don't even need a CDL for that anymore. So, but you do have to have somebody in the driver's seat. Any other questions on that? That's all I have.
Want to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same sign.
The 17th of November?
17th of November, 9 a.m. Same time.
Pat, are you still on?
I am.
Okay. I will try to stop by